is the
probably the one day in the year which has the highest consumption of shrutzim per capita than any other day of the year. But besides that, because people eat all the dried foods which are full of shrutzim. But besides that, there are really important concepts connected with Tu B'Shvat. That's why it does occupy a prominent place in the Jewish calendar. Mishnah says Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Here, Reb Tzadik has a whole arichas here. What's the big deal of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon? We know that Adam Rishon and Chava, they were put in Gan Eden, and they were told that they could eat from any of the Eitzim in the Gan, any of the trees in the Gan, but not from Eitz Hadas Tovara. They could eat anything they want, but not Eitz Hadas Tovara. When Kodesh Baruch Hu told Adam to eat, so his diet was fruits, Kol Atzei Hagan. So you see that a human being really should be eating fruit. Didn't tell him to eat anything else. He wasn't allowed to eat basar. And he didn't eat the things that grew in the garden. He did not eat yarokas. He didn't eat vegetables. He didn't eat grasses, herbs, anything. Kol atzei hagan, eitz yeit from. The Gemara says, one opinion of the Gemara is chita hoya, that even the wheat that we have today was like a tree in those times. And after the chet, it turned into a grass. But why? Because the real achila sa'odom is supposed to be me'etz, from trees. We know the idea of a tree is very central in understanding human being. Ki odom eitz ha'sodeh. A human being is likened to an eitz. Doesn't say an odom kamo eitz ha'sodeh. It doesn't say he's like a tree. It says odom eitz ha'sodeh. He is a tree. What about the Torah? The Torah also, we say, Eitz Chayim Hi L'machazikim Bo. What's a tzaddik called? When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim to see in Eretz Yisrael what was going on, he said, Liros im yesh bo eitz im ayin. To see if there's a tree there, Rashi says, from the Chazal, what did he tell him to look for? Fig trees? No, he told him to look for a tzaddik. If there's a tzaddik there who's in his chus, in his merit, Eretz Yisrael may be spared from our invasion. Which tzaddik was he worried about? Moshe Rabbeinu, Eov. He was the most righteous of all. The one is worried that maybe Eov is still alive. Eitz, a human being is likened to an eitz all the time. An eitz, an eitz, an eitz. The Gemara says, what is a human being like in this world? A tzaddik like in this world? Le'eitz, like a tree. Sheruboy natua b'makom tara, that all, it's completely rooted in a place which is tohor. The noifoy b'makom tuma, and just one branch is sticking out into a place of tuma. Kopanim, you can go through Chazal, or a person who has to look through life, look at himself as if he's an eitz oisepri, if he's doing fruits, like if he produces fruits, if he's fruitful, right? Like it says in the Gemara, Elu dvorim shodom oichol pira sehem ba'oilam azeh. Our peiros are the fruits of our deeds, right? And so on and so on. The human being is really like it. It's real. It appears so many times, you cannot take this issue of eitz lightly. The Zohar Kodesh says that Menayin Shakos Bochu Nikra Eitz, Hashem is called an eitz, and Adam is called an eitz, a human being is called an eitz, and the Torah is called eitz. Those three things, human being, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Torah all called eitz. It says in Shir HaShirim, Ketapuach ba'atzeh hayar dimisich rayosi. Hashem, Am Yisrael looked at Hashem and said, like a tapuach ba'atzeh hayar, like an apple tree. Like an apple tree. All the metaphor of eitz is too ubiquitous to ignore it in Shas and in Midrashim and in Psukim. So this is a throwback to the Tzaddik. He doesn't bring all these digmos, but this is to call our attention to the fact that really the essence of human being is an eitz, and what we should live off of is the eitz. Mikol atzei hagan acho. They should eat only from the eitz of the piras ha'elan, of the fruits of the trees. Just not from the eitz hadas tovara. when Adam, after he sinned, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Adam?
You can eat meat.
No, well, no, 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 you couldn't eat meat yet. What did he tell me he was going to eat?
Bread.
Esev HaSodeh. Now you're going to eat from vegetables, things that grow in the ground, things that are, you know, Esev HaSodeh, like this is in the Pasuk. Rak Priya Eitz, what's the Lashon of the Pasuk? Vochalto es Esev HaSodeh. You're going to eat from the grass of the ground. It says, the Gemara says, at that time when Adam HaRishon heard after the Chet that Hashem cursed him, part of the punishment is going to have to eat. He says, Ani v'chamori neichol me'evus echod. What, I'm going to eat the same thing that the animals eat? That's my punishment. I'm going to be just like an animal. He started crying and sweating because Bocha said, okay, v'zeh asapecho toichol lechem. So you're going to be different. You'll turn this stuff into something else. You'll take that which goes in the ground and you'll turn it into something else. Let's take it to the wheat. The animal eats, you know, just the grass. Adam takes the wheat. Toil, work hard, grind it, thresh it and grind it and knead it, bake it. You get bread. Before the chet of Adam HaRishon, says the Gemara, and it'll be like that, Losi Lavo, the bread grew on the wheat. You didn't have kernels of wheat. The bread grew on the wheat, like it says, "Losi lovo osi eretz yisrael laotzi gluskois." That after times of Mashiach, also the trees will grow cakes, loaves of bread. Which trees? Says Reb Tzadok, the wheat. Just like the Gemara says, "Eitz shochem imenu Adam HaRishon." The tree that Adam HaRishon ate from, according to one opinion of the Gemara, was chita. What kind of eitz was it? Says Reb Tzadok, that was the kind of eitz it was. It didn't grow garinim. It didn't grow seeds at the time, kernels, it grew mamish fruits. Fruits was like a loaf of bread. Mamish fruit that tasted like a loaf of bread, whatever it was, that was a done. It was a done deal, you know. They have something like this, so little, it's similar to, they have a spaghetti squash. You know what a spaghetti squash is? Not so popular anymore. For a while, it was a bit of a hit. Spaghetti squash, you cook it up, it's all like pieces of spaghetti. Mom, you cook it up like spaghetti, and you just cook, done. Bowl of spaghetti. But, that was the thing. So we know that it's a big deal, this eating of the fruits of the tree, so much so that the curse is that you don't get to eat anymore from the fruit of the tree. Now you're going to eat Meis HaVasod. When is the tikkun? So that was Mekalkal, the whole creation was, of course, damaged after the head of Adam HaRishon. He brought death into the world. We're going to talk about that death, how he brought death in the world. And the tikkun of the head of Adam HaRishon, the Gemara says in Shabbos, wasn't until Mamad Har Sinai. That was a Kabbalah Satura, was until they did the Chet Egel. Then there was a Tikkun for the Chet, and they were actually in a matzav like Adam HaRishon before the Chet at Mamad Har Sinai. They could have lived forever also had it not been for the Chet of the Chet Egel. What do we bring on Shavuos? Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah. What's the special offering of Shavuos? Shtei Alechem. You bring two loaves of bread, and that's a Tikkun. That's to show us that the real Tikkun of the Yetzer Hara is only through Torah. That it'll bring us back to a matzav, to a situation where the wheat itself will be a tree again, and it'll produce loaves of nourishment instead of kernels of nourishment. Yeah. So that's the Nekudah here says, why does it say Rosh Elon that Tu Bishvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon? So the Mefarshim asks, what do you mean Le'ilon? It should be Le'ilonos. It's Rosh Hashanah for trees. It's not Rosh Hashanah for a tree. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. The same Mishnah says, and what do you call it? Rosh Hashanah Le'netiyas. Or what is it? Rosh Chodesh Elul. When is it? The Yerokas. Always says in the Lashon the Shmitin Liyovos, Tishrei is the Shmitin Liyovos, and the in Yerokas and Netias all is a Lashon and Netias all is a Lashon of Rabbim plural. Except when it gets to Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, Maklus B'Sehil B'Shamai, it says Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Which tree? Which tree are we talking about here? It's like it's talking about the single tree. So that Reb Tzadok says also it's Derech Remez to teach us that the whole thing of Tu B'Shvat is connected with the tree that we were supposed to be dealing with in the beginning of Bria, Beit HaChaim, that was inside the Gan, that was inside Gan Eden. So what was going on inside Gan Eden? What was really going on inside Gan Eden? So Tzadok in a different place in Bereishis speaks about that that situation. The Gemara brings seven different opinions. Hashem said not to eat from Eitz HaDaas. What was Eitz HaDaas? Was it a lemon? Was it a pineapple? What was it? Well, there are many different opinions. What it was? Was it an Esra? Was it a wheat? Was it forget the tapuah? Whatever. Nobody says tapuah. Grapes, fig. What all the different species are bringing? The Zohar HaKadosh says that it v'kula kshoit. It's all true. Marsha, how could it be all true? Either it was wheat, or it was a date, or it was a fig, or whatever. How? What's the pshat? It's all true. So here, Rav Tzadok says a very deep concept here. He says, really, it's true. It's all true. What does it mean? It's all true. It means Adam Arishan had a choice when he was to eat. His choice was the following: either eat the way Hashem tells you to eat, or eat the way the Nochash wants you to eat. How did the Nochash, who was the instigator of all the problems that came afterwards, as the Gemara calls it in Shabbos, Zuamo shel Nochash, the pollution, the filth of the Nochash. What was the filth of the Nochash that he managed to inject into Chava and Adam? Was that they could eat for pleasure. You can eat in two ways. You can eat l'shem shemayim, or you can eat for pleasure. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, eat meitzachayim, meaning you should eat l'shem shemayim because of the mitzvah, and not for the sake of pleasure. That was the Eitz Das Tovara. Eitz Das Tovara was you could eat for your own self, just for the geshmak of eating. So Nochash was able to influence them that their first taste, their first meal, they didn't have a meal before that. First meal, they should eat it with tiger. Not l'shem shemayim. All right, why they did that is a different cheshbon. That you have the different meforshim. We say it was a chet l'shem shemayim. They did l'shem shemayim. They wanted to go into the ra, into the koach ha'tayv and show b'chozos. Nevertheless, they were going to be faithful to Hashem, and that would be the biggest kiddush Hashem. Whatever the issue is, we're talking about the results. The results were that when they ate it, they didn't know what they were getting into. Obviously, when they ate it, woo, that's powerful. They gained is a hard word to use here, but they acquired the capacity for self-centered, self-gratification, indulging in the pleasure of physicality. That's what they acquired. They acquired the taiva for feeding self, as opposed to eating, which could have been like a korban. Eating to Adam and Chava could have been like being makriv a korban, to get in taiva and makriv a korban, or like it says in the pasuk, they were naked, v'lo yisboi shoshu. So it even says the Nochash saw them, they were cohabitating. Veloyis Boshosha wasn't there. It was a mitzvah. Hashem said, "Peruv, okay, Peruv, let's do it." But there was no taiva in it. It was only after the chet of Memela Loyis Boshosha. Memela they were not embarrassed by what they were doing, because why should you be embarrassed? What's the difference between this and putting on tefillin? Embarrassment only comes as a result of a person feeling guilty that he's self-centered. The reason why a person feels guilty when he's self-centered is he realizes he's separating himself from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's using the body that Hashem gave us to fulfill our tafkid in the world, and you're using it for your own purposes. It's like a person gets married, you know, gets a job. You know, he's an engineer, okay, goes to MIT graduate, right? Or what do you call the place, you know, the high aerospace engineering school. What is it?
NASA?
No.
Caltech,
years ago, he gets a chush of a job, you know, with Boeing or I don't know, one of these defense companies.
NASA.
He's the crack at NASA. He's the crack engineer, and they, you know, he gets this beautiful job right after school, and then, you know, they're waiting to see results, what the new inventions can come with, and find somebody, nothing's happening. You know, they're not getting nothing from him, nothing. Finally, they come into his office, and they see the whole place is filled with paper airplanes. He said, "Look what this one can do! Right? They gave him this beautiful office, massive computers, right? The best salary you can imagine. All of this." He says, "Look at this! This is unbelievable." He says, "Yeah, dummy, but that's not what we hired you for, right? You took everything we gave you, all that we invested in you, and it's all worth the garbage can. You did it just for yourself. You're supposed to, hey, dummy, you're supposed to work for the company." Not for yourself. wasn't about giving you the conditions to make the best toys that you have the most fun with. So a person, if he's got, he's a half of a mensch, if there's a quarter of a mensch left in him, he'll be embarrassed. Well, gosh, what did I do? I took all this stuff and I used it for myself. They were expecting it. Person would feel humiliated. So too, when a person indulges in this world, because Baruch Hu gave the whole world, he created everything. He created the banana and the apple and the orange and all the different fruits that exist, and the sun and the stars and everything, and the body and the ability to think and the ability to eat and the ability to rebel and everything else. And he said, okay, thank you. Well, what about the I'm supposed to accomplish something here. It's not just about Hanoah Satsang. I'm so embarrassed. After the Chet of Adam and Chava, they looked at themselves and they hid away. They wanted to hide. They sewed clothes for themselves. They were totally humiliated, embarrassed by the fact they'd used their bodies for something other than what Hashem had commanded them. So that's really the effect, you know, the cause and the effect, but the effect of what they did was that we became people who are very interested in physical pleasure. And that's what brought Lule de Mistafina, I think that's the pshat, that's what brought death. That's why Hashem said, the day you eat from it, you will die. They asked Akasha, they didn't die. Chazal said he did tshuva. He did tshuva, and because of tshuva, he got a reprieve that was put off for 1,000 years. All right, so he gave the last 70 he gave to David HaMelech, and he died at the age 930. But he could have lived 1,000 years. But I think Pshuta Shel Mikra, that Bema says he did die the day he ate from it. Because the day he ate from it was the day he separated himself from Mekor HaChaim, from the source of life. The minute you separate your body from the source of life, you gain the potential for death. And the way that happened was by using the body for its own self-centered pleasure. So he had a choice. Adam and Chava had a choice to eat completely shem shemayim, or to eat for their own pleasure. The minute they chose to eat for their own pleasure, that's what they tasted in everything that they ate. That's the, he says, the machlokus in the Gemara, what the tree was. He said every tree had this. It was the wheat tree, and it was the fig tree, and it was the day tree. Every tree had the opportunity to eat from it and make a decision. Am I going to eat this l'shem shemayim, or am I going to get my saliva glands running on this, and my digestive juices running on this one? And they had the ability to choose. They could choose which one they wanted to do. And the machlokas and the Gemara is only which one did they start with. But really, the Eitz HaChaim, the Eitz HaDaas, was in the Adam himself. The human being was so we know what the Eitz HaDaas did to them. Eitz HaDaas connected them to the physical world. What would have Eitz HaChaim done? So had they eaten from the Eitz HaChaim, so they would have tasted, what would they have tasted it? What would have been the geschmack in the Eitz HaChaim? But like, what would they get from that? From the Eitz HaDaas, they got taiva, self-centeredness, the drive for self-gratification. What would they get from the Eitz HaChaim? They would get the geshmak in Torah. Wow. He doesn't say, now Reb Zelig doesn't go far as to say this, but Lulei de Mistafina would say what they would have gotten from the chila of Eitz HaChaim would have been the Dvar Hashem. We know that everything that Hashem created, it exists only based on the 10 mamoras, the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with. They would have been able to get the geshmak out of the physical world, the spiritual geshmak, the spiritual Dvar Hashem, the piece of Torah that's in every aspect of the physical world. That's what they would have gotten had they eaten from Eitz HaChaim. So now we can understand that had they eaten from Eitz HaChaim, they would have lived forever, because they would have, their whole body only became would become the world, and their bodies would just become a conduit for the Dvar Hashem, the Yom Chubur, directly connected to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But if you take the same piece of food and instead you eat it for yourself, you it's for me, it's not for you, it's for me. Oh, it's for you? Fine, it's for you. You die. You know, I mean, you, when you separate, you're severing the connection. When you're self-centered, when you focus on yourself, to a certain extent, we're severing the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that problem affected all of humanity until Matan Torah, till the giving of the Torah. Most Thomas, everybody died as a result of Chatoim, they died, but all the Chatoim came from the fact that they internalized the Ra from the first Chet. Until Kabbalah Satara, Nat Pasko, what the Gemara says, Pasko Zumas HaNochash, then the pollution of the Nochash stopped, and they were able again to live forever. They could have lived forever again. Their body, because again, now their bodies were Mechuber, were connected only to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's a remez to us. It's kamin chomer. In other words, at Kabbalah, what was that Kabbalah Satara? They received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that which they could have acquired through the Bria itself. They could have acquired Torah from the Eitz HaChaim had they eaten L'shem Shemayim from the Bria itself, from the creation itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stak baraisa bar alma. There's Torah in everything. They could have acquired that through eating instead of a daf gemara. They would have got the daf gemara from the food. But they didn't get that. So then the Rebbe Hashem gave them Matan Torah, gave the Torah Bizgalia. He gave it not in the way that you have to eat to get it, the Torah itself. And the Torah itself was a tikkun, elevated them to a level back to what they could have been, or what they were supposed to be in the Chet, before the Chet Adam Rishon. I mean, the Gemara said, Rebbe Tzadok brings, you have some cases like this in the Gemara, people actually achieved this. This is Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says, different perushim, what the Pshat, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. What does it mean Yaakov Avinu lo meis? What does it mean Yaakov Avinu lo meis? I mean, as far as we know, he's buried in Mars Machpelah, right? What does it mean lo meis? So Sodok says, Yaakov Avinu, when he was working for Lavan, what did he say? He said, Hova no ishti v'ova alea. He said, yeah, enough time has gone by. Give me my wife and let me get on with it. He said, Ova alea, you know, let me have intercourse with her. So the Chazal, Rashi brings the Chazal, says, Kal shebekal imeinu medavakin. Imagine going to your father-in-law. Father says, give me the girl so I can have intercourse. A bum doesn't talk like that. I mean, how could Yaakov Avinu speak like that to anybody? Okay, love him as a low life, but he still is your father-in-law, right? You don't even... So Rashi says, Elamai, Livnos Yid Beis Shvatim. He knew that his job was to create Yid Beis Shvatim. Time is running out. Let's get on with it. In other words, Tzadok learns from that Chazal Pshat that Yaakov was like Adam Rishon before the Chet. There's no bush. It was a mitzvah. Put on tefillin. I gotta put on tefillin. It's getting late. This man tefillin is about to go by. I gotta put on tefillin. Yaakov Avinu was on the Madrega of Adam Rishon before the Chet. We made the Chazal say that's what Chazal meant when they said Yaakov lo meis. He did die. What's the Pshat? He didn't die. He did die. Elamai, he was on the Madrega of Adam Rishon before the Chet, that there was no busha in his life from the physical involvement in the physical world, because it meant nothing to him. It wasn't a personal issue anymore. It wasn't self-centeredness. It wasn't self-gratification. It was, if anything, it was a drive to be Mekayim, the Ratzon Hashem, which is really what was meant to be from the beginning. That's why Chazal tell us that Shufa the Yaakov Hoya Kashufa the Adam Rishon, that the beauty of Yaakov Avinu was like the beauty of Adam Rishon, that he even had an appearance like Adam Rishon, but that beauty was the beauty of coming out of that he was completely Torah. So we know that there was somebody else the Gemara speaks about who actually Mamish, after he died he was still alive, Rabbeinu HaKodesh Rabbeinu HaNasi. So the Gemara says that after he died, he used to come home every Erev Shabbos and make Kiddush for his wife and his family. Then he'd go back to the Kever.
Or I'm home.
Right? Yeah, she was right. Until one of the neighbors found out about it and the word got out, and then he stopped coming. Wow. Imagine what the relations with that neighbor was like afterwards. But so he says, how could it be Moitzi? A meis chofshim in a mitzvah. The halacha is that a meis is not chayv in mitzvahs. And everybody in the house was chayv in the mitzvahs. So how could it be Moitzi them? Terah says he wasn't dead. Lo meis. Interestingly enough, he says from the Svar Makadoshim it's brought down that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was a spark of the neshama of Yaakov Avinu. That's why it's called Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Nasi Rosh Tevas Nitzoitz.
Oh my goodness.
Shel Yaakov Avinu. He had the same madrig. Where do we see this? Where do you see this in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was called Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Nobody else in the Gemara, all of Shas, is called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Nobody's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, except you don't know. He says he was Shomer HaBris. He was a tremendous flow. He never put his hands even below his waist level. His Shmiras Kedushas HaBris was so intense, and he never looked outside his Dalet Amos.
Wow.
And when he died, he raised his 10 fingers, and he said, with all the covet and the wealth that he had, he was one of the wealthiest men in the world at the time, and he's never lacking anything on his table. He says, he didn't have one, so what did he do? He threw the meal away every day? What did he do? He put everything on the table and then threw it in the garbage can? It's Baltashkis. Eleter says he ate it. But it was his achila. It was like the achila of Adam Arishan should have been before the chayich. His achila was kula l'shem shemayim. Lo nenes, his body wasn't nene from it. You think a person can reach that? There's a famous story. Rebbe Chanan Wasserman used to come home for lunch. What was lunch in those days? I don't know what was lunch. He used to come home for lunch every day, and his Rebbetzin, that was a later period in his life, because in the early period of his life, after he got married, I'm not sure when this took place, this mice, if it was the beginning or the end, more towards the end, but he came home for lunch and he saw his wife wasn't there, Rebbetzin wasn't there, so he helped himself to the soup. And then his wife came home later in the evening and she saw that the lunch she prepared for him, he didn't eat the lunch. He says, "Why didn't you eat the lunch?" She said, "I did eat the lunch, the soup was delicious." She said, "I didn't make you soup." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "There was a dirty pot on the stove that was soaking there to be washed out." Wow. It was soaking to be washed out. That's what he didn't taste it. He didn't.
Wow.
Well, she didn't taste it, right? If a person is preoccupied, if a person's got his mind, his machshava was tough as a turf. A person's preoccupied. I guarantee you, it could happen to any one of you. You're preoccupied with something. If you give you a scrambled egg and a steak on the same plate, you won't taste the difference. If you're preoccupied, pleasure is a psychological thing. It really is a psychological thing. You have to be in the state of mind to have the pleasure. And if you're not in the state of mind, you won't have a pleasure. Yudan nosi zachila lo nenesi afila etz b'ktana. Not even his finger had enough from this world. That's why he was called Rabbeinu HaKodesh. His sanctity, his kedusha was lamala above. And he says his talmidim, they tried to be noyeg like him. They tried to run their life. They couldn't. His own talmidim couldn't reach the level of kedusha. Even the one hanhog, even one minig that he had, which was not to look outside of his dalet amos. That even that they couldn't. Some of his talmidim even they blind themselves for it. It's a whole other shmooze. So our kolponim, so the achila on Tu B'Shvat, the ending of Tu B'Shvat is to remind us, the avoida on Tu B'Shvat, it's a big avoida of making the broch on the pears, is really to remind us of what we're really here for. What we're really here in this world for. What we're here in this world for is to take the physical world and do with it what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, and never, never, never to use it for our own self-centeredness, for our own self-gratification, so we take the fruits of the tree, Paris Eilan, we throw ourselves back, kivyocho, like for a day, we're like, oh, the Marishan before the Chet. What do you do? There's a Seder Tu B'Shvat. You make brochas. What are you eating all those fruits for? You people eat fruits, they're not even the star fruit and this fruit and that, but like, I don't even like why are you making so many, why are you eating so many fruits on Tu B'Shvat? You know why? What the average Yid will answer you? For the brocha, to make the brochas. The chil of Tu B'Shvat is the one day a year when you can eat completely shem shemayim. People, that's what people do. A whole seder, I wouldn't eat this. On a normal day, I wouldn't eat this. All the volume of dried fruits that's sold for this one day is why we keep people in business for a good amount of time. What are they doing for the brachas? That's the chil of all Rishon Lifnei Chet. And that all fits very nicely into what we were speaking about in the last few weeks of Shovavim. That the takana of Shovavim, the ending of Shovavim, is to get away, to break away from that mindset of physical pleasure, of physicality, of drive for taivas, and replace it with the drive for kutsha bricha, replace it for the geshmak of gashmis, that we should taste the Dvar Hashem, that the chila should be for the bracha. Rav Moshe Kopshis, Zeker Tzadik, Mikodesh Avroch, was the Rav of Chanichi Yeshivas. So he used to have every Shabbos, he used to make Sheva Brochas every Shabbos. Every Shabbos made Sheva Brochas. Always the Sheva Brochas. Yeah, would always count. Chayav Odom, person is chayav to say 100 Brochas every day. So Priskarov used to know at any moment in the daytime how many Brochas he'd made. Because the Rambam says, a person should count his brachas. The Rambam says, finish, I count my brachas. Any moment in the day, he knew which bracha he was holding at 34th, 56th, 78th. So Moshe Kofshitz, that's all. He cheshbened out always on Shabbos, he was missing 7 brachas. So he had a special suit in the afternoon. No matter where he was, they knew his kids, everybody's sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, his sons-in-law, they all knew you got to bring him you know, a plate with this type of fruit and this type of vegetable and this piece of mezonis and this piece of wine, he counted up, so with the bracha rishon and the bracha achronis, he get seven brachas. That's how was he called. He made seven brachas every Shabbos. No, it's not a pella that Ben Shem took him out of the world, such an ish kodesh. I don't know how he's shining b'chol in this generation. A person who makes his sheva bracha, his life is around the bracha. What's the nebuch? I have to eat because I got to make the bracha. The bracha is the ikar, right? Like what somebody told me, they were brev. It's bad enough we have to eat. Do we have to talk about it? What we should be talking about food. We should be talking about the brachas of the food. That the one exception the year besides Tu B'Shvat, the Sotheb brings it in many places, in the name of Arizal. People misunderstand Arizal that on Shabbos, sechila on Shabbos. If a person eats on Shabbos, he says, although normally the Gemara says that a person, when a person indulges in achila, there's nothing that brings out the Yetzer Hara more than achila. Like the Gemara says, Ma yase oisa ben shalayechta. A person is in a situation where he's almost bound to make a chet. Omer Rav Acha Breid Rav Hun Omer Rav Sheisha Sainu the Gamer Inche Mole Kreise Zine Bisha. A person's stomach is full, then the bad stuff comes out. The Yetzer Hara, that was the whole Aschola, the whole beginning of Ra, the whole beginning of Chet came from Achila, from eating, from the self-indulgence, from the self-gratification. That's where it comes from. But the one exception is on Shabbos. The Shabbos is Me'ein Oilam Abo. So the Chil on Shabbos, is being named Arizal, doesn't arouse that force of Ra, doesn't rekindle it. That's even without Kavanah. If a person would be on the Kavanah of a Tzaddik, he'd have the Kavanah Zechila on a Tzaddik on Shabbos, he could even do a Tikkun, he could be Mesakin, the whole problem of Yetzer Hara through his Zechila on Shabbos. Now we know the Gemara says, Ilu Shomru Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Nigolim. If they would keep two Shabbosos, immediately they would be redeemed. So Gemara on Shabbos says, if they keep two Shabbos, why two Shabbosos? Why not one Shabbos? So that's the two Madregas of Echila on Shabbos. One Madregas to eat, you keep Shabbos, it's Hashemah Shabbos. The second Madregas, the person, he eradicated his own Yetzer Hara. And then he has that Shabbos, the Echila on that Shabbos, to bring it back to a situation of like other Marishim before the Chet. That's right. If all Yisrael would keep those two aspects of Shabbos, that the Echila shouldn't be for self-gratification. And he brings it into a higher level, with the Kavonis of the Tzidkus and the Yerushimayim of the Tzaddik, person, all of the world would be nigul. Miyad hu nigulim, that would bring the Mashiach. The Tzaddik says a remarkable thing here, though. He says, even though the Gemara says, Ilu leishom yisol shtei shabosos miyad nigulim, we need all of Klal Yisrael to keep shtei shabosos. Says the Tzaddik, that you could do it yourself also. As a person could bring himself to Yemosa Mashiach for himself. A person could reach a level of Geula completely on his own. For you, the rest of the world is going to be in Golus. But for you, you could be completely freed from the bondage of Yetzer Hara. If a person would work on these enyanim of Kedusha, he could reach a level of Kedusha that he, by him, there's no Dafka Kamina Mashiach is here, is not here. Only the difference is, Gabi Kod Shemayim, that's the way the world looks, there's a difference. But for him personally, he's already on that level.